hello, and welcome to the Two Coffee Teacher Podcast. I am Alex.
And I'm Josh. Alex and I are two young educators who want to contribute to our field. On this podcast, we talk about education and relevant content to apply in our classrooms. It's our hope that this podcast can also encourage educators without needing that second cup of coffee.
If you're new to the podcast, then welcome to the show. And if you're a regular subscriber, thank you for tuning in and sticking with us throughout our process of our podcast production. So
yeah,
we hope that you have had a lovely Thanksgiving holiday since this is dropping on the Monday after Thanksgiving break. So yep. For those of you that are getting back into the classroom or getting back to work, make sure you get that strong push in with your classes or with your job or final projects or whatever it may be before we kind of come down the home stretch on the 2015 year.
Christmas is coming. The holidays are coming.
The holidays season is arriving with Hanukkah and Christmas and all sorts
and
of other.
Family and rest.
Family, Boxing Day.
Boxing Day? What's Boxing Day?
Boxing Day is the Canadian day that is after Christmas.
Really? I didn't know. I've never heard of that. That's new. That's okay.
Talk about holidays. We're here to talk about
education. That's what we're here for. Today's main topic will be about the classroom setup. Some of the best techniques that Alex and I think are awesome. Ways to approach your classroom setup, the effects of classroom setup, and the implications it has for your students. Lots to talk about today on the podcast.
Yeah, and definitely as how that might pertain to the kind of classroom environment that you may or may not want to have.
Yeah, we talk about classroom environment a lot as a prevailing theme on the podcast. It's one of the things we keep coming back to as one of the ways to really go the extra mile and really helps your classroom in a lot of different ways. So that'll be good. But we're not going to go there first. We're going to talk about something different.
So as over the past couple weeks,
yeah,
this idea of what, or not really an idea, what is the reality. So what's been going on with the unfortunate events that happened in Paris about 2 weeks ago,
yeah,
and some of the political side of how what had happened in Paris, how that's come about too, right?
So yeah.
This has been a hot topic, of course. Everyone has an opinion on it. They all stink. but there is a, I think there are some serious implications as to how what has gone on and how people are reacting to ISIS and to the turmoil in Syria and what happened in Paris and our sense of safety and security here in the United States. I think this is all applicable to our classroom, right?
Yeah.
So one thing that I want to talk about is we want to get away from the political side thing and just think about this as humans.
Okay.
As creatures, as we like to call
ourselves.
People.
Yeah.
As people, right? So, but from the political side thing, there's all this debate whether or not the United States or individual state localities should be bringing refugees in, right? So
right.
if they should continue the relocation, the settlement process because of concerns over national security and concerns that members of ISIS or people that want to inflict harm on us might be smuggled in or leaked through the cracks during that settlement process, which is a very fair assumption.
Yeah.
I totally understand some of the fear that may come out of it. There's also debate and talking points and all this rhetoric on both sides of the playing field as to whether or not our military should get involved, whether or not Congress should enact or authorize war, whether or not President Obama should be using his War Powers Act to send troops over and kind of take care of this problem right ahead. But we're not going to talk about all that today, right? Because ultimately, we are two guys that are sitting in a library talking to a microphone, and we don't have that sort of power.
Yeah,
and
we don't, we're citizens, we're voters, but we don't have the the executive power to make those decisions.
And unless you're a member of Congress, or you are a governor, or you happen to be President Obama who's listening to this, which would be awesome if any of you were.
Hey, POTUS, we're trying to get you on the podcast, so whenever whenever you're ready, give us an email. You can email us at twocoffeeteachers@gmail.com.
My guess is that we don't have anyone of that high-ranking list.
Hey, you don't know, man.
We don't know. I hope that's not the case. But the point that I'm trying to make is that 99.999999% of us do not have the power to actually do anything about the refugee crisis and how we want to move forward with some of the foreign policy-related stuff behind that.
So let's talk about us in the classroom.
Okay.
In that vein.
Let's talk about us as humans, because there are things that we can do, and there are certain ways that we can interact with people and partake in conversations.
Yeah. I think that's really the first step in this, and that I've heard from some of my peers and some of my colleagues that this is a very, very dense, very difficult time in history, and it's very hard to talk about rationally. And so I've heard people who are like, no, we're not going to talk about that today. We're not going to talk about this in our class. And I'm thinking, you know, I understand that. I do. I understand where they're coming from. It might be opening a bag of worms, but you know what? We have to address these things. Controversy is one of the things that makes our content relevant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, controversy is one of those things that makes us relevant. And I think that if we choose to ignore having these conversations, we're losing. You know what I mean? We're giving in a little bit. We can't choose to ignore some of these things. I think one of the themes that I'm seeing as I'm watching the news and hearing from my friends and hearing different experiences that people are going through with this issue is that fear is driving a lot of things going
on.
Fear is driving people's perspectives. And this is one of those things where we can't, as people, we don't feel like we can step back and find ourselves, I might have to put myself in someone else's shoes to learn about that. And this is something where we're all in our own shoes. There's not a lot of people that we step back in, because we feel like this affects all of us. This is very much a human issue that you mentioned, Alex. I think that's, man, this really affects all of us, and people are scared. And we have to acknowledge that. We have to recognize that. And you're right. We're not like, we don't have the authority that Obama does or Congress does to make things happen. But we can make the decision to not choose fear.
I agree. And we can also make the decision to be tolerant.
Yeah.
Right? And to recognize that the actions of few do not represent the qualities and the personalities of the many.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
So just like within the realm of Christianity, right, you don't have the members of the KKK or members or people of the Westboro Baptist Church are not representatives of Christianity, right?
Sure. Just or like Americans, yeah.
Or Americans in general, just like members of Al-Qaeda or ISIS are not representative of the entire 1.6 billion demographic of the Muslim population.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's very important that we teach our students and we try and drive home the idea of being quality citizens, being active and quality members of their communities and their schools, right?
Yeah.
Ultimately, again, our students don't have we don't have the authority, and our students don't have the authority as to determine or make a decision as to what's going on.
Yeah.
But what they can control is how they interact with people, how they dictate conversations.
Choosing to be respectful. Yeah.
You know they're going to have conversations with their peers at the lunchroom. You know they're going to be some overheard conversations with their parents, and you know it's going to come up at the dinner table during this holiday season too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's a difficult time. Like, let's not make light of it. It's a difficult time, but I think you're right. Like, it's relevant, and people are going to be talking about it. And you know what? I don't think there's a lot of people who got into our field for the money.
No.
Right? I think a lot of us got into this because We like students, we like our content, but we also want to live our lives in a meaningful way through our profession. This is an opportunity to make your profession meaningful, to make your class time meaningful. And I think your students will remember that.
Yeah, and again, if you're someone that's concerned about the sensitivity of the events that happened in Paris or the ramifications that might have on bringing up bad memories for some of your students, you don't even have to go there. You don't even have to mention Paris. You don't even have to mention ISIS, especially for those teachers out there that might be in classrooms with younger settings, especially sure. Maybe elementary school or middle school.
For sure. Know your audience, right? Yeah.
But what you can do is you can still, again, we talk about this idea of tolerance and respect and community, but you can teach your students and you can drill home into their heads what it is like to be accepting of others mm-hmm. and to not live a life in fear, but live happily and be lucky and feel lucky and sense the privilege that we have that we don't that we don't live and we don't come from a place where you have all these different rebels and different groups of interests that are constantly going back and forth at each other, and you don't have to look over your shoulder on an hourly basis thinking that an IED might be showing up in your street or that you might have a group of people running down the street with AK-47s, right? Yeah. We are so lucky, and we have no idea what it is like to live in the shoes of some of the people in this, or the majority of the people in this world.
Or being, persecuted in that way, yeah.
And I don't think it's fair to even try and relate to that. But what we can do, again, is to be accepting of those around us and live a life where you want people to feel accepted and feel welcomed. And I think if our students are able to do that with their family members, with their friends, and with people that they don't know, then this is something that we can tackle, and this is something that we can change and make a difference on.
Yeah, and I think this is something that's going to develop. Like the events may develop further from like the moment that we're recording this. But I think those themes that we've been hitting on are consistent throughout this issue. For those in Paris, our thoughts and prayers are with you for what you've been going through. For the refugees and for Europe, we're thinking about you. We're talking about this issue, and we're not ignoring it. It's important. So we hope that's something you can apply in some meaningful way to your classrooms.
Order your peers or coworkers or whoever it may be.
Yeah.
So with that being said, let's move on to our, now that we spent about 12 minutes or so chatting about this, let's move on to our main topic for today, which is how we can lay out our classrooms.
Yeah.
So what is a classroom layout and what does that entail, right? Is that just a matter of what kind of posters we have in our class? Does it mean, do we have a little bit of our personal touch? How are our desks arranged? Where do we set up our main grading table? There are a lot of different features and a lot of different intangibles that might go into how we set up our classroom.
Yeah. I mean, I think as we were talking about briefly at the beginning of the podcast, this is something that we like maybe establish at the very beginning, the moment we set up in the room, what our layout is going to look like. But it has so much more ramifications in so many smaller ways throughout our teaching, throughout our class, and the environment that our students feel comfortable in. It's an important decision you make. It affects your teaching style, the whole lot of stuff. So this is going to be good. I'm excited to open this up.
All right, so let's go ahead. Do you want to talk? Let's talk about how we can arrange desks, right? So,
okay, yeah, it's the staple, the big thing in the room, right?
Is a desk. You walk in on the first day of school, right?
Boom,
you might see some tables, you might see some rows, you might, if typically with our high school settings, you might have just the standard desk and chair as like what it's one single unit that, and you have a nice little grid or a box with the big lecture area up at the front of the room.
Sure.
There are a lot of ways to go about this, right? I mean, it depends on the subject. It depends on the teacher. It depends on how much you want your students to interact. Again, there are a lot of different variables that come into play with this.
Sure.
Looking through my research, though, and kind of seeing what's common out there with a lot of teachers, especially at the secondary level, since that's my own field of study.
We're 6 through 12, yeah.
Is that a lot of times we have these pods that are set up, right?
Tell me about pods. What do you mean by these little wings?
So a pod is essentially a table, right? It's a combination. You might have like 3 or 4 desks, okay?
Okay.
And you essentially, as like a pod, you put the desks together. So you take these individual desks and you just turn them into a group setting table, right? So it might not be a physical 10 feet long by 6 foot wide,
it's not established
table, right? But it is a group of individual desks that you kind of join together to create like a little mini group.
A mini workspace.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. So,
I'm tracking with you, yeah.
So in the situation where you need to have students focus on material that's being presented, or maybe they're taking a test, working on some sort of individual assignment, then yeah, you can have those 4 desks that are put together. Maybe you can just spread them out a little bit, right? So you get the students away from each other, not on top of each other anymore. They just kind of spread out a little bit more.
Yeah.
But in a situation where the desks are put together, then you're more than likely going to be able to promote this idea of engaging the kids in conversation with each other, looking at each other's work, and a little bit more dialogue too. And studies have shown, and the research shows, that sometimes when we're going through different work or we're going through content delivery, if the students have time to think and then pair up with each other, have discussions, or show each other their work, then they're going to be it's going to be much more of an efficient learning process.
Interesting. So is that like your preference, you say, like the pods? Would that be like your preference for classroom setup?
So now this is where we want maybe to have a video. We're not a video media, but this is where it'd be great for everyone to see what we would like to draw. But in my ideal classroom,
paint a picture.
I would like to have, so let's say my classroom's a square, right?
Yeah,
a square room. I would like to have 2 different like teaching areas. I'd like to have maybe on the back side of the room, I have a huge whiteboard, right, where I can write notes, I can draw pictures, I can have the students go up to the board and write stuff down, fill in tables, do whatever.
Okay.
On the other side of the room is where another like main teaching area is, and that might be where my projector is, or might be where my smart board is. Okay. So I have 2 like kind of home bases. Maybe on the side with the big whiteboard, I could have a little podium with some different lecture notes,
sure,
or other papers I would need to hand out throughout class.
Yeah.
Then the other side's like my video technology area.
Gotcha.
So we have our 2 sides of the room. So this is like on, say, like we have a square, like a little bit more of the rectangle. These are on the 2 longer sides.
Okay.
Now the 2 short sides are going to be where my tables are, or my pods are. Okay. So I have a little walkway right down the middle of the room. So as a teacher, I can venture back and forth between my little lecture area, my little tech area. Okay.
Yeah.
But then I have my 3 pods, and they're going to face the middle of the room.
Interesting.
So that way, you have your pods. But you also, as a student, I can easily go back and forth. But since your shoulders are going to be centered toward, or they're going to be set up so they're all facing towards the middle of the room.
Gotcha.
It's going to be very easy for me to just a quick head turn to the left or right and be able to see what's going on.
Sure, yeah. Okay, so it's like I'm starting to see the picture square, different regions, the pod set up that's central to you is like your primary teaching area.
Yeah,
like
so I can walk down. It's easy for me to walk down the middle of the classroom.
Yeah.
It's easy for me to travel from lecture, whiteboard area to tech area.
Yeah.
I can easily navigate through the different pods.
And it's very flexible for grouping as well. Man, that's really smart. I like that. I haven't actually seen that kind of setup. I've seen variations of that in different classes I've been in or different practicums that I've been in, but I really enjoy that. That's really interesting.
What are some things that you've seen in your experience?
Honestly, lots of grids. Lots of grids. All the desks are evenly laid out. You know what I mean? All the desks are proportional. No one can copy or cheat on each other if they're working. Rows. Lots of rows. So that's been my experience. Some of my favorite classrooms that I've seen are variations of kind of what you've talked about. I had one class that I took in high school. It was a social studies class, and it was bent on more discussion. There was a lot more discussion that occurred. And so the room was divided in two halves, like kind of similar to what you were discussing. But the teacher can walk up and down the aisle and talk to both sides of the room. And then when it was time to take a position, there were two sides of the room that you could establish yourself to. Or the teacher could, you know, place an issue on one side, an issue on the other. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It was very even split. I thought that was really cool, too. But I think for me, you know, as a teacher, as you're starting to think about, you know, how you want to set up your classroom, it depends a lot on what your style is, right? The decisions that you make in your classroom. If you're going to have more of a student-centered approach, if you're going to have maybe a flipped classroom, it's going to make sense to do more, I would say, more tables or more, you know, like group settings if you're going to focus on learning stations. Honestly, I've been in a lot of classes that's lecture-based. And so the grids make sense because we're all centrally focused, shoulders turned. We're attentive,
mm-hmm.
right? We're not looking at each other. And so that makes sense. But I think for me, when I get my own classroom, I think that's going to be the big decision is, like, based on my teaching style, how do I want these desks to look? How do I want it to be organized to fit my style? And I think that's the main decision you have to make. But for me, I want to do something different. I like what you talk about with the pods. Have you ever been online? I mean, this is just typical internet. But you ever been online and, like, there's like an article that pops up somewhere and it's like, tour the Google headquarters and see, like, or tour the top 10 tech companies and see what their headquarters look like.
Yeah.
And it's very, it blows your mind because I think of, like, you know, typical businesses that have, like, the cubicle set up. And then I look at some of these companies, you know, like Google or like Facebook or like these cool tech companies who create very innovative environments for thinking and very innovative spaces for independent work and very innovative spaces for meetings and group discussions. And I get inspired by looking at those because I'm like, man, like, I don't need to build a slide in my classroom for it to be an innovative experience. But when I set up my classroom, I want to think about, how can I inspire my students? How can I use the layout of my room to inspire my students and, like, increase morale a little bit? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When that student walks into my classroom, do they feel like they're walking into another room with cinder block walls and grid layout? And you know what? If you have a grid layout, that's fine. I'm not this and that. That's just, like, the standard that I've seen. Or when do they walk in, are they going to be inspired? Are they going to feel like they're in a different place with the way my walls are, the way by my own personality, by the way the room is laid out? Are they walking and say, there's something going on here? You ever walk into a big library?
Mm-hmm.
This is like the clutch example I think of. When I walk into a big library with books everywhere, I like books. If you haven't noticed, listeners, I know Parker, you know that about me, but I love books. And so when I walk into a big library, I'm inspired because I see books everywhere and I'm excited to read, right? And so when I want my students to feel some level of that when they walk into my classroom. They don't have to like my content, but they can say, you know what, I'm here to learn.
Yeah,
I'm ready to learn.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? And so that's what I want my students to feel when they walk into my classroom. So whatever I can do to make that work. I like your pods, though. I had never really thought of that direction.
Well, it's the same idea. I mean, in some of our classes, especially in the College of Education,
sure.
And I'm sure with what we've experienced, we just see the tables, right?
A lot of times,
it just depends on, and your what you can do with your classroom setup is just limited to, what does the school provide me with?
Sure.
If I'm in a high school, does the school just give me all of these individual desks, and then I kind of have to figure it out from there? Or maybe do I have a hard table where you are forced to throw students together?
Yeah.
Or maybe even do I have, like, if I'm in an elementary school, do I have these, like, a hybrid kind of thing where you have storage space within a table, but maybe it's like a two or a three person little row where each student's together. You have your individual spot, but it does have that collaboration.
It feels flexible.
Again, ultimately, I'm not going to tell you that pods are the way to go because I haven't even had my own classroom yet. I looked at it and I've seen some things out there and I've seen a little bit of both. And I thought that's an idea that I kind of want to have once I get into my own classroom in about a year or so.
Yeah. And that's honestly, for our listeners, that's one of the benefits that I think our podcast provides is that, you know, you and I come in very open-minded to a lot of these things because there's a lot of things that we haven't experienced as teachers yet, but we're in a pre-service program, a great one at that, and we get a lot of different experiences and perspectives, and that leads us to be very open-minded, which is a benefit, I think. So, you know, I hope if you're a pre-service or early teacher, first couple of years, you're walking through these thoughts with us. If you've been in the field for a while, I hope that we're providing like new insights and new ideas that you can be open to. I don't think that's a weakness at all. I think that's a strength that we have.
For sure. And for those of you that are listening that have been in the classroom for a while, we'd love to hear some of your input on this, right? Again, use our Twitter hashtag, tweet at us. We would like to continue that conversation and see what your input is, and we can love to have some dialogue with you after the show launches.
Yeah. So Alex, let's talk about a few takeaways for us. Cause you're right. We're not experts on this, but we're excited. We've poked around, we've done our research, we've talked to people. What are some of your practical takeaways for when I walk into my first classroom or I walk into my classroom again for year 10, how do I want my classroom to feel? What do I want the layout to look
like? Well, I think the most important thing is that ultimately it is your classroom and your classroom needs to reflect your learning style. If you're one that's more teachers, if you're in a traditional setting and you're more teacher-centered, then by all means, do not go to the tables because you're going to drive yourself crazy when the students are inevitably going to
talk
with each other, right?
Yeah.
But if you're someone that wants to be student-centered and be student-oriented and maybe more of a hands-on classroom, then get those tables together and arrange something where you can walk around and the students can interact with each other. But for a guy like me, I want to have times where I'm going to just, or there are going to be times where I'm just going to have to straight lecture. I'm just going to have to say, all right, kids, you know what? We got to buckle down. We got to blow through some content. So let's buckle up and let's do this. And there are going to be times where I'm going to say, all right, quick, let's talk with a partner about what we think about this. Or let's do this little quick jigsaw activity where everyone does a little bit of research.
Yep.
And let's get together and let's work through this activity. And with the setup that I described with the pods, I feel as though I'm going to be able to effectively manage time and my own energy if I have this sort of setup where I can do the lecture, I can do the student center activities, and I don't really have to do a lot of rearranging to be able to get both of those tasks accomplished.
Yeah.
So that, I think the biggest takeaway is figure out what you want to do as a teacher and then use your own research, your own experience to figure out what are some different layouts that might work for me. And what are some ways that if I'm going to go with this direction, then how can I put my students in a good position to succeed with that classroom setup?
For me, I think the things to think about very practically are think about the student experience, right? Think about what are my students' perspectives going to be in this? Maybe it's desk layout. Maybe it's the feeling that the room conveys. Do they feel like when they walk into your room that they're going to learn? If you're in English class, are there books everywhere, right? You know, if they're in a math room, like are the tools available for them to be successful in math? That was something I needed when I walked into math. That was not my strong suit when I was in grade school. And so I needed to feel an environment where it was okay to struggle. It was okay to work through things before I mastered it, you know? So think about your students. Think about their morale. And I tell you what, man, I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's all about what your teaching style is going to be. Is that going to adequately reflect itself in your classroom? I think that's the big thing to think about. So, Alex, awesome conversation today. I think we covered some really important points, both in the first and second part
of our podcast today. I'm really excited for this episode to get published because I think we're going to be able to create a good discussion with some of our listeners after this launches. So
yeah.
Do you want to touch on how our listeners might be able to interact with us
outside this podcast? I sure will. We want you to continue this conversation with us. We want to hear your thoughts. We want to hear your feedback. We want you guys to be as much a part of this as Alex and I are. There are a couple ways to do that. Social media, big way. Think about our Facebook group. You can search us on Facebook at Two Coffee Teachers. You can also follow us on Twitter at @2CoffeeTeachers. And you can leave us a voicemail for our next episode. You can leave us your feedback on there. Or just tell us that you love listening to the show at 443-300-8908. That number is 443-300-8908.
Now, it would be an even bigger help for us if you could rate us on iTunes, because this is the best way to get our name out there to other people who might be interested in what we are doing here on the show.
Sure.
And in terms of growing our community, because if we keep getting those 5-star ratings, then our subscription numbers are going to just keep going through the roof. And that is what we want as a learning community and professional learning network podcast.
We want to reach as many people as we can to be as more ideas in the conversation as possible. That's how we grow.
Absolutely. So ultimately, give us that 5-star rating, but more importantly, thank you for being a part of our Two Coffee Teacher podcast. So keep up the hard work without needing that second cup of coffee.
Bye, guys.
Thank you so much. I can see the sweet sun pouring down in the strawberry sky. Tall grass dancing down by the St. John's River side. And I can see Maggie running through the fields full of wine.